Hello, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN. One of our favorites, Alderman Matt O'Shea from the Fightin' 19th, has joined us right now. He's one of those guys who has been how many years have you been in now?
I'm on my third term.
Third term. Wow. So, you liking it?
Most days.
Okay. Everything going smoothly?
Yeah.
Well, Alderman O'Shea,
yeah,
never getting any complaints,
right?
In your office?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I could just, you know, there's certain wards in this town. Every ward has its own challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But that's got to be the most complex and dynamic. First of all, the 19th Ward is gigantic, right, on the southwest side of the city. But it is also, it's got a lot of people who work for the city in it. So there's a lot. There is complaining, and then they're sucking up all at the same time. Would you say that's, hey, you know, I just got laid off at a job. You got anything over by the city? You know, they get a lot of that sort of thing. They probably
represent a very educated electorate.
You do, actually. Very connected. You know, almost, there are days that you wish you had people like that weren't interested in what the future was. You know, just like half of my aldermen is like, half the people are complaining about everything, and then the other half are like, I don't even know what an alderman does. All right, let's talk about this. We got two things first. Yeah, let me start with what you're coming in about, which is you've got an ethics plan that you are proposing that you would like to see passed in city council. And before I laugh you out of the studio about that, I understand the need for it, but it's surprising that there hasn't already been one. What is in yours?
It's rather simple. It's I have 49 colleagues, 50 aldermen, that aldermen cannot serve as paid lobbyists. In addition to doing the role,
what are you, a communist?
And that other elected officials can't lobby the Chicago City Council. And this is a response to the many, many ethical scandals we've seen in this state, in this county, in this city over the last few years.
Okay, so let me ask, I understand that. That seems on its very face to be a good start. And let's explain the second part there. It certainly makes sense that an alderman shouldn't be a paid lobbyist for somebody else when they're working, right? And for the city. Let's just say the gumball industry. I don't know that there is still a gumball industry, but let's just say there is. That in the gumball industry, if you're a lobbyist for the gumball industry and all of a sudden you're on the city council and you decide that you want gumball machines in every public library and at every public accommodation in the city of Chicago, every you know, daily center everywhere, that would seem to be a conflict of interest. Currently, could you still weigh in on that and vote on that if you were the lobbyist for it? You're specifically a lobbyist on something, you don't have to recuse yourself on a vote that directly affects your income?
You are supposed to recuse yourself.
But you don't. But there's no rule that says you have to.
Sure, there is.
Oh, there is.
But, I mean, the problem here, it's plain and simple. You know, taxpayers need to know that they're
elected
officials.
Stop people totally from doing this is what you're doing.
Yes.
You're asking them, not just, you're supposed to recuse yourself, maybe you are and maybe you're not, or maybe you're, at least you're twisting arms on behalf of the gumballs. But what you're saying is that you have to give up all of that. Okay, that's A1. B2, other elected officials not lobbying, and that's an interesting thing, because if you are a county commissioner, let's say, you can still be a lobbyist, right? And then the county commissioner can walk across the hallway, literally, across the hallway to the city council and say, hey, you know, I'm the gumball guy now, and I need you to put gumballs in. Right? Is that
kind of like that? Yeah.
Is that who we're talking about, though?
I mean, I would hope that, you know, this particular piece of legislation is co-authored by my colleague, Alderman Michelle Smith of the 43rd Ward. And we do have 30 of our colleagues have signed on as co-sponsors. My hope is that we can get this thing passed through the council quickly, and that other elected bodies, and I know that Governor Pritzker has been very outspoken about this ethics reform.
Yes.
And that the county board and other...
Because state legislators are doing it too, right? They work all kinds of other jazz.
But so the lobbying piece of it is one piece. And then you have the other piece where the side gigs or the law firms and the tax firms and things like that are also, they seem to serve as conflicts when you're voting on related bills and legislation and taking money from people in those positions who would profit from the kinds of legislation or things that you would consider in city council. Where are we on that, Alderman O'Shea?
I mean, I have several colleagues who also are attorneys and were practicing attorneys long before they joined the city council. And I do believe that elected officials in a capacity as a lawyer should be able to handle, you know, real estate closings.
But there's a we're going to take a quick time out. I want to get more explanation on this because this is a big deal. But there's a difference between being a registered lobbyist and a lawyer.
Correct.
Right? You can still be an influencer without being a registered lobbyist.
But there are total conflicts in the legal world as well, is what I'm pointing out. And that's what a lot of the mayoral candidates ran on that, but didn't. I never figured out where it went.
All right. We'll come right back. Alderman O'Shea is here if you've got any questions or you need a job by the 19th Ward, 312-981-7200. I'm going to make your day easy for you right now, Alderman. Right now, Lauren Lapka's got her eyes on the skies and the roads. Alderman Matt O'Shea is here from the Fighting 19th on the southwest side of the city of Chicago, and he is introducing lobbying reform in the city council, which is, in the old days, his car wouldn't start. You know, it would take him 2 months to find his car if that happened. Now you're doing it, and you think you might be able to get this passed next week.
Yes, I'm confident that the overwhelming majority of my colleagues would be in support of this measure.
And you're arguing that city council personnel shouldn't be, the persons, members, aldermen, shouldn't be lobbying for private companies to other governments.
Right.
Right? Or
we should not be paid lobbyists. We should be solely working on representing the interests of our community.
And your ethics reform would also require, it would prohibit lobbyists who are elected officials from lobbying the city council, too, which is kind of really more of the way that this works.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
More prevalent.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
How many of your colleagues do side jobs or get most of their income or some of their income from another line of work other than just being an alderman? Because I know some are just aldermen, and that's your job, and that seems like a lot to handle in and of itself, but then others have very active businesses on the side.
Of the 50, I don't know what the breakdown is now. More and more aldermen are full-time aldermen, like myself, this being their only source of income.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'd like to see. I'd actually like to go over to the FBI office and ask them what they know about all of the different. What other gigs do some of these people have? All right, let's talk about this. Because I'm fascinated by what is now the great debate for the last couple of days. The rideshare companies. This is a fight between the new mayor of the city and the rideshare companies, whereas the old mayor of the city wasn't really fighting the rideshare companies, pretty much giving them whatever they wanted, right? I mean, when they first got in here, it was very much an encouragement for Uber and then Lyft, because Rahm Emanuel had to be ecumenical about this, that Uber and Lyft, you know, start to come in and gave them proprietary stuff at the airports, which really ticked off the cab industry and really ticked off the private, the limo services and all those kinds of things. But, and let us not forget that Rahm Emanuel's brother was one of the major investors in Uber when it was first
Jenny
launching.
Uber driver will remind you of taxi drivers in particular.
Yes.
We'll tell you that.
Yes.
You know what? You know who owns part of Uber?
Yes, Ari Emanuel.
Take a taxi and see if that doesn't come up.
So let's, but now there is this whole thing about a number of black church leaders came forward to say, listen, Uber, hey, Lori Lightfoot, Uber is putting $50 million, the rideshare industry, I think is what they're saying, is putting $50 million on the table for development, and I use that term loosely, development in African-American churches in Chicago if we oppose the restrictions or the taxes on Uber and Lyft. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I read that yesterday after our city council meeting. I know they came up, I believe, in the press conference. I don't know. I mean, I will tell you, many years ago, is in representing my community, if you hailed a cab downtown here or getting on off an airplane in O'Hare, a taxi cab driver did not want to drive to 103rd and Western. Why? Because they don't have a ride back.
Right.
So ride sharing filled a void.
That 103rd and Western is a nice neighborhood. But
very
it's,
nice neighborhood. But it's pretty far away from...
Right.
The Central Business District and obviously O'Hare International Airport. So ride sharing filled that void. That was problematic to get a cab to take you into our community, particularly in the evening hours. And it was hard to find a cab in our neighborhood to take you downtown. So ride sharing filled that void. And what we've
does
seen.
Does it effectively fill the void, though? Because we were just talking about this yesterday. This is a debate that's off in hand.
It's a big debate in the city
that,
right now.
That Uber drivers. Now, you might have more Uber drivers than you would have cab drivers, because there's some people that are sitting at home, right, in Beverly or Mount Greenwood or any of the other places, or Oak Lawn, you know, outside the city, that are sitting at home and they're waiting for their Uber thing to buzz, and all of a sudden they see, because their phone is on and they're in the neighborhood, and they're like, oh. You know, there's a guy at 103rd and Western who wants to... There's a guy over at Cork and Carry who needs a ride to get back downtown. I just want to get Cork and Carry and our dear friends.
I like the
Now, if you're going to do that, you got to get... that seems like, all right, fine, I'm going to make $20 or something here that I wouldn't normally make, or $30. But are there really that many... Is it really filling that much of a void other than that circumstance? Because that's what we don't see.
Yes, that has been helpful for folks who are looking for a different option other than driving a vehicle.
The way I understand it, though, Alderman O'Shea, is that if you went from the airport to, say, in your neighborhood, 103rd and Western, that you would not get that extra fee. It's to reduce the downtown congestion where you really get hit. If you take a solo ride by yourself, not a ride share, a solo ride by yourself to the downtown, that's when you get hit. If you're going from neighborhood to neighborhood on the outskirts of the city, you don't get hit as hard, especially if you're doing a shared ride. Is that how you understand it?
That's how I understand it. So what it started out as, it was filling a void in a community like mine. What we've come to find is Central Business District at any given time, morning, noon, night, is flooded with hundreds and sometimes thousands of ride-sharing vehicles clogging the roadways.
Right, putting their hazards on and actually sitting in lanes waiting for people to come out of the building.
It's problematic at the airports also, particularly up at O'Hare along the tollway there. So to combat that, that's where this legislation came from.
Does that combat it, though? Does that combat the... Does that take more people out of the rideshare industry, do you think?
Is it on the margin? That remains to be seen, trying to promote more, carpooling and rideshare, so to speak, and also lowering the rates to take people from neighborhood to neighborhood.
I think the tickets, the obstruction tickets for rideshare drivers should be double what they are for civilians. Because then they got to know. You know, what's interesting is rideshare people cannot pick up and drop off on Michigan Avenue. Between Oak Street and the river, and I think it actually goes all the way down to Roosevelt, if I'm not mistaken. But they have to pull off onto a side street or whatever because they screw up the traffic system all the time. And there was a big enforcement, big crackdown a couple of years ago where they were trying to grab these guys up, and there's just police doing nothing but ticketing Uber drivers for doing that on Michigan Avenue, which was creating twice the amount of obstruction, because then they had to write the ticket and they did the whole thing.
Wait for the ticket.
And then you figure, all right, well, these people will never do it again, but it was only those 10 people that were never doing it again. Everybody else is doing
it. And the next 10.
Right. But I mean, I think there's got to be some sort of teeth in that, because I feel like there's not enough. Cab drivers. I've always felt badly for the cab industry here because they got totally jobbed by this. There were rules, real rules that cab drivers had to live by. There were background checks and all kinds of, the vehicles had to be inspected. There were all kinds
of
things.
Drug tests.
Right. Everything. And then there was the 311 and the medallions. And
expensive.
Getting to that. Guys were paying, maybe individuals or, a couple guys would get together, and they'd pay $100,000 for a medallion or $200,000. I think at the very peak, it was somewhere close to like $180,000. And now the medallions are worth $10,000. And you've got cab drivers here and families of descendant families that were counting on those things being worthwhile. You've had a spate of suicides in New York City because the exact same thing has happened there, and here in Chicago in this industry. I mean, it's really an untold story.
It's a very difficult job.
It is. Yeah. And the number of people who had fleets as well, like personal car drivers, those guys too got really hit.
Yeah.
Hit hard.
And the thing is, I find very little quality control with, there's supposed to be quality control with Uber and Lyft, but I don't really see it very much. And, you could look at the stars and go, well, does this guy have stars, or I'm going to turn them down because they don't have stars? But then they're grading us, and you don't want to have the right stars. It just, the whole thing feels very rackety to me. And I thought it when it first came in, and now I see it, and now I see what's going on here, and I'm on Team Lori Lightfoot on this. That's what I would like to say.
Tax the heck out of them.
Yeah, right. And fine them more. Alderman O'Shea, thank you very much. The Fightin' 19th. We appreciate you being with us. We got the news coming your way from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.